Listen to your heart, part one. I talked about what the heart of man really is. It's the spirit man on the inside. And then part two, I talked about free to hear from God. We talked about the difference between the heart of man, the spirit of man, and the soul of man. Part number three, I talked about the inward witness. Is that the way God leads most of us, with that little inward witness on the inside, not with some spectacular event? And part four, I talked about why believers fail to follow their hearts. And we talked about the reasons that people fail to listen to God as he speaks to them. And this last part, I want to talk about training the human spirit. You have to train your spirit just like you train the physical man. Joshua 1:8. In the NLT says, study this book of instruction, God's word, continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. You see, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to listen to your heart and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This isn't something that happens overnight. You know, when you go in training for the human body, if you're training, one day you're not this way and the next day you're that way. It takes time, takes training. And the same thing with the spirit. Training and develop the human spirit is actually a new concept to some people. There are millions and millions of dollars spent each year in training the body. How many of you right now, you either got a personal trainer or you're going to the gym and train? Let me see your hand. Come on, be honest. Come on. We spend time training the body, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. In fact, the Bible says that physical training is of some value. It is of some value, but you can't put it ahead of training the human spirit. And then I don't know how much is spent on educating our minds, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should never stop learning. We should continue to learn, read books and learn. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's been very little taught on training the human spirit. And many Christians think, well, God will just do it for me. No, that's not. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, he has given us everything we need. It's us that needs to learn how to train our spirit. Even though when we become born again, the spirit on the inside becomes a new creation immediately. But that spirit has to be developed to learn how to listen to the voice of God. And we do that. And there's four important principles that I want to talk about. You all know them, but we're going to talk about them anyway because they're important. And even if you've heard this before, I'm going to be like Peter. Peter said that he's going to continually remind his constituents of these truths. And I'm going to continue to remind you of these truths so you don't lose them. Meditate on the word is the first thing to training the human spirit. The word meditate means to focus one's thoughts or to reflect on or to ponder over. Now, you meditate on the word of God by thinking on the scripture and then talking it to yourself. It's all right to talk scripture to yourself, okay? That's okay. You can talk to yourself. But some people only take about 5 minutes in the morning. They pray a little prayer and maybe read a verse of scripture and run out the door. And they say, well, I'm done my daily Bible reading and prayer. I don't think so. You know, those people are usually weak Christians because they haven't taken time to meditate on the word of God. Learn to meditate on the scripture. Now, how do you do this? Well, you look at the scripture, you read, and usually as you're reading, when you're reading the scripture, something will sort of jump out at you or sort of come out at you that or maybe reading the same portion of scripture you've read before, but all of a sudden you'll see something in that scripture that you hadn't seen before. Anybody ever done that? You know, read the same scripture, but you see, and that's what you need to meditate on, because that's what God's trying to, he's trying to tell you something, okay? How many of you have been reading the scripture, you're just reading down through there, and all of a sudden it seemed like one of the verses are one of the clauses in a scripture, one of the phrases in the scripture, all of a sudden would just sort of, I sort of call it jump out at you. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's what, for that day, maybe that's what you should meditate on. Maybe a couple of days and think about it. And then sometimes if you're reading and all of a sudden you read over a portion of scripture that really just seems to hit home. How many know what I'm talking about when I say it? I mean, it just seems that, man, oh, that's what I need. Okay, think on that one for a while. See, that's the way you do it. That's the way you figure out what you need to think on. And or if you need healing or if you need finances, then you need to read those scriptures and meditate on those scriptures. You know, roll them over in your mind during the day, you know, until it becomes a living part of you. You know, I've tried to make it a practice of doing that, to just think about scriptures. You know, sometimes driving down the road, I can think about, you know, when I was in college, I worked a midnight shift at Plastic Manufacturing Company, and it was just a job that didn't require a whole lot of thinking. All you did is put those little deals in the mold and hit the button, wait for it to open up, and then take the bowls out and set them over there. Somebody else did all the polishing and everything. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of thinking to do that, you know. It doesn't take a lot of thinking to pick up six little deals and go plop, 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 and pick up six more and go plop, 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 hit the button and stand there and wait for about 30 seconds or to 45 seconds till the mold comes down, and then it opens up and you take a little air hose and you go choo 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 and set the bowls over there. And that's what you do all night long. And you gotta, you know, keep doing it. I mean, realize that doesn't take a lot of thinking. So I used to read some scripture if I wasn't driving, because we carpooled, and if I wasn't driving, I might read some scripture as we're going there. And then as I was working, I'd think about it, because I don't have to think. I mean, I could do that with my eyes closed, you know. I've done it so many. But that's what I'm talking about, you know. Just when you have a time that you can meditate and think about that, and let the scripture get from here to here, from your mind down into your heart. And then when problems arise, if you've let the scripture get inside of you, when problems arise, then the scripture comes up that you need to sustain you in the hour of your crisis. How many understand what I'm saying to you? See, let's go back and read that Joshua 1:8 again. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. To me, it's saying that the only way you're going to prosper and be successful is whenever you meditate upon the scripture. Isn't that what the scripture, isn't that what it's saying? You know, God wants us to prosper and succeed. He wants us. I mean, all you got to do is read Abraham's story, or all the stories. I mean, he wants people to see Daniel, the three Hebrew children. I mean, you can read story after story where God, he wants you to succeed. But you can't do it unless you do it his way. See, now, number two, you got to practice. So that you can, see, it says here, meditate on these scriptures day and night so that you will be able to obey everything. Okay, that means doing it. That means practicing, as I said, doing. And as you become a meditator on the Word of God, you will become a doer of the Word of God. And then guess what follows that? Prosperity and success. You know, there are many people that are talkers about the Word. I mean, I've run into people for a number of years now that are talkers about the Word. Any of you ever run into some people that are talkers about the Word? They can tell you the Word, but there's a lot of difference between talking about the Word of God and doing the Word of God. They are the talkers, and then there are the doers. You know, I've noticed a lot of times that a lot of people, that they give out a lot of big advertising, but they're not doing very much. They make people think they are, but other people are. You know, people say fastest growing church and all that kind of stuff, and the best music program. That, well, we got all that around here, but we just do it. We don't talk about it. We just do it. Hello, how many of you know what you're doing? Now, there is such thing as advertisement. Don't get me wrong about that. But how many understand what I'm trying to say to you? They're talking about what they're doing, but they're not doing it. I have seen, and I don't mean this wrong, but I've seen a lot of missionaries, and I imagine Larry can, and probably Prince can help me with this, but I've seen a lot of missionaries that talk about what they're doing, but when you get there, they hadn't done half of what they talked about. Have you seen any of that, Larry? Yeah, I know Larry has because I've talked to him about it. But and then you get to some places and you never hear about it, and man, look what they have accomplished. And that's the same way with us. We've got to be doers and not just talkers. Come on now. You know, more than once, you see these people jumping and shouting, and then they jump higher than anybody, shout louder than anybody, and then they come back to you, oh my, what am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? You know what I tell them? Do the same thing you was doing before the crisis, because that's what we're supposed to do. If you really believe the Word, then in the middle of the crisis, you're going to shout and jump when everything, you know, a lot of people can shout and jump when everything's going good. But it takes a doer of the Word to shout and jump when the crisis hits you. Hello. Some of you are looking at me funny. Others of you are saying, yeah, you know, I think some of you have been there. That's why you can say amen. Hey, see, a doer of the Word just doesn't praise God when everything's going good. A doer of the Word praises God all the time. In the good times, in the bad times, and in the in-between times. In the middle of the circumstance, in the middle of the situation, or in the middle of the greatest time of their life, they're still praising God. You know, our faith is not based on what we feel or see. It's based on what the Word said. The Word said it. I believe it. That settles it, period. Come on, let's go. That's it. No, there's nothing else to it, okay? Now, we live each day participating with the Word of God that is in our heart. You know, it's hard to go into a classroom and sit down with a test and answer the questions if you hadn't put it up in your mind. Am I right or wrong? It's hard to get in the tough situations of life and come out on the other side successful if you haven't hid the Word of God in your heart, if you hadn't put it down in here. Let me know what I'm talking about. You know, I tried it. It don't work. See, I didn't ask you, but I will ask the question. How many of you have tried it just from the talking standpoint? It didn't work. But when you try it from the doing standpoint, do it Hey, it works good. Now, I didn't tell you that it'd come overnight. You just got to keep believing God and keep going on. You know, Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry about stuff. Don't get agitated. Hello? We might want to read it like this. This is the way our generation might read it. Just still out and pray and give thanks to God. Come on. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. Isn't that what anxious means? Don't be anxious. Don't be upset. Chill. How many of you ever heard somebody say to chill to somebody? What do they mean? They tell me, hey, just settle down. It's going to be all right. Come on. That's what he's saying here. Stand in faith on the promises of God. Excuse me. Excuse me just a minute. Stand in faith. You know, Isaiah 26 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Just a minute, I'll get over this, okay? God will set the peace of God on you. In the middle of the worst situation you've ever been in your life, if you're grounded in the Word, you got the Word in you, there'll be a peace in your heart, even in the middle of sorrow. Hello. You know, I learned a lot of what I'm teaching you by watching. You say, well, who'd you watch? A fellow that has my name, Kenneth Hagin. He happened to be my father. I watched him walk in the peace of God in every situation that we came into. It didn't matter if it's financial or whatever it was. He would always have the Word of God coming out of his mouth. Didn't make no difference what was happening. In fact, somebody had come up to him, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? What does the Word say? That was his pat answer. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? I mean, there sits Rich back there. He traveled on the road with him. There sits his granddaughter, Candace. And how many times you heard Papa say, what does the Word say? Lots of times. Yeah, because that's what he said. That's what he said. Anytime you go to him, what does the Word say? And that's the way when crisis came to him, that's immediately what he went to. What does the Word say? And you've heard me tell it before, but it's you know, about how that he put the last bit of money he had in the gas in the car, and he got in the car. He didn't fret about it. He just said, all right, Lord, I expect this car to run, and it did. You've heard me tell the story when he was standing at Pat's mama, my grandmother, his mom, bedside when she went home to be with the Lord, and he was very close to her because she had helped him and taken care of him during his sickness there when he was 16. And, of course, being around him, I knew. I saw his lips start to move. I've been around him too much. And then before that, then his voice began to pick up, and he just began to say, you know, these things, you know, to quote the scripture. So this is what we need to learn to do in the middle of it. You know, another part of the practice in the Word is the law of love. Oh, now I could have preached all night and not said this. But is the law of love, walking in love. Walking in love is essential if your faith is going to work. Walking in love is essential if you're going to be prosperous and successful. You know, you don't have to praise the Lord when everything is going bad. You don't have to walk in love when everybody else is not walking in love. Never hold a grudge against anybody. I watched Dad do that, and I've tried to practice that. It's the rule of my life. I don't allow negative words that somebody says about somebody to dwell in me. I can't keep them from saying them, but I don't have to dwell on them. I can let them go. I don't have to think about them. You know, when somebody talks about somebody, because I know that if I harbor those words, that it's going to hinder me. Instead, I pray for people. Even when people do things and say things against me, I don't hold them. I mean, I've had somebody come up and say, "You remember when I said so-and-so about you?" And I actually, they have to begin to talk to me and tell me about it. And then I've said, "Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember. I let that go a long time ago." Well, they say, "I want you to forgive me." I said, I forgave you a long time. I forgave you when you said it, but I'll do it, you know, because you've come to me. Try, you know, but there's some people that remember every cotton-picking thing that somebody ever said about them. I realize that's not good English, but it is for me. It is from where I come from. You know, they don't let nothing go. They hold it all in. You know, if you're going to walk in love, and you're going to have the ability to listen to your heart, then you're going to have to let it go. Let it go and get over it with it. Let it go, get over it, and go on. Say that. Let it go. Get over it. Go on. That's what you're going to have to do. You know, I. If you want more teaching on how to avoid the trap of being offended, there's a book out there. I taught it from this pulpit, 10 Lessons. How many of you remember me teaching that on about getting offended and being offended? Hey, you can go find out. You can't walk in love if you're always getting offended every time somebody does something. You can't walk in love if you got a chip on your shoulder. Hello? I don't care about anything. It don't matter whether it, whatever it is. If you got a chip on your shoulder, you can't walk in love. So knock it off and go on. Now, there may be sometimes, there may be a lot of times we may have to say, "Uh-oh, chip got up there, get out of here. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. I'm just walking down where you really live today, you know. I mean, that's what we need, you know. So the ability to succeed and prosper has to do with everything that I've been talking about so far. And then another thing, if you're going to succeed and be prosperous, then this word of God has to be first place in your life. It becomes first place when you meditate on it until it becomes a part of you. That's when it becomes first place. When it becomes a part of you. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life." You have to feed on the word of God until you're saturated with it. Now, I may get the carpet wet, but that's all right, y'all can clean it. Now, that Kleenex is dry, right? Look at it now, when I squeeze it, look, water's coming out of it. Why? Because it's saturated with the water. They were two separate entities, water and the Kleenex. But now when I poured the water on this Kleenex, it became saturated with the water. And when the squeeze came, the water comes out. That's exactly what has to happen with you. You have to be so saturated with the Word of God that when the crisis of life come and begin to squeeze you, instead of out of your mouth comes, "Oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh, I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. Oh, look at this, it's happening." Hey, out of your mouth has to come the Word of God. Every time something comes against me, one of the first things that comes out of my mouth is, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." That's what the Bible says. If fear comes, I've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. See, when push comes to shove, then you need the Word. But how many people have you ever heard that when push come to shove, the crisis of life came, they begin to be squeezed, instead of out of their mouth, the Word of God coming, they're, "Oh my God, oh." Come on, how many of you? I'm not going to ask how many of you have done it, because you all have. Most of us have anyway, I'll put it that way. I won't say for all of us, but I know most of us probably have. See, you feed on the Word, meditate on the Word, give it till it becomes first place in your life, till it reigns supreme. Hello? I learned this from Dad years and years and years ago. I watched him do this. I would watch him, you know, feed on the Word. And then when things would come, that's what would come out of him. You've heard me say, and I was talking about that a while ago, but when Pastor Mom went home to be with the Lord, out of him came the Word. Just until it saturated the whole room and all of us were pleased. See, if you're saturated with the Word, when death comes to a loved one, out of you comes what the Word says. "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" There, see, that's what comes out. I know that's what come out of Larry, because I know the man. I know him personally for a number of years, and I know the first thing that come out of his mouth, "Death, you don't get any, there's no victory here. I feel the loss of my wife, and the kids feel the loss of their mom, but out of them, because I know them, they've been in this church, they've listened, they've trained their spirits, until even though in the natural there was a feeling of loss, but on the other side was the Word of God coming up that sustained them and give them the strength to walk through everything. That's what I'm talking about when making the Word first place. The Word will sustain you in the crisis of life. The Word will keep you going when your emotions are hurting and your body is hurting. But that Word coming out of your spirit will bring comfort and peace. I like to say it like this. How many of you ever got a sunburn? And then you put some kind of maybe alloy or something on, and it just felt so good. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. See, that's why. See, when the devil comes in and he gives you a scrape and he messes you up, as you let the Word come and begin to wash over you, it becomes like that soothing ointment. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Now, the fourth thing we got to learn to do and train, and this is a hard one, and that is to obey the voice of God when He speaks. You know, you got to operate in that way, to instantly obey. Even when your mind does not understand it, you still instantly obey the voice of God. Now, you got to make sure it's the voice of God and not somebody else's voice and not what you just want to do. You know, it's got to be God's voice. You know, I know this. I know a guy. he is going to do a sign a contract, $250,000 contract. He's going to make $250,000. Then he had to go to another city, and he had it all timed out where he'd get there just in time for the appointment. So he's driving down the interstate, and he saw exit sign. Exit so-and-so coming up, and the Lord, he in his heart said, take exit. Well, he didn't argue because he knew it was the Spirit. He took the exit. He went into his little old town. He got to signal light or stop sign, I forget which, and he turned. The Lord said, turn right, and he did. And then he going down the street, little old bitty town, he pulled in the parking place and just parked there because that's it. And the Lord told him to. And then he got no more instructions. He just sat there. So he just began to pray, okay, Lord, thank you. I know you brought me here. And he saw a guy come stumbling down the street, about half under the influence. The Lord said, go minister to that guy. So he went and ministered to him, led him to the Lord, and so forth and so on. And the story is that guy had lost everything. He had become an alcoholic. And that morning, he was laying in a park looking up at the sky. And he says, God, if you're really real, send somebody to me today. That was the answer to prayer. We got to realize when God speaks to us, we may be the answer to somebody's prayer. Hello, come on now. And you say, well, what about his business deal? Well, he got back in the car and headed on to the appointment late. Now he's late. He figured, well, may even lost the contract now, may even be over. But he just prayed and said, okay, Lord, I took care of your business. I'm going to let you take care of mine. And in fact, it's not my business anyway. You gave it to me. So when he got there, went in, and the secretary said, we've been trying to get a hold of you. Said, so-and-so was called out of town on an emergency, and they've rescheduled the contract signing for tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Now, when he got there in the morning at 10 o'clock to sign the deal, the guy said, since you drove all this way and were out of your way and had to spend the night here, I'm going to give a $10,000 bonus. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's going to happen to you every time because it won't. But when we obey God and do what he tells us to do, he always rewards you. Now, it may be in several different ways. You know, people are always looking for the reward to come in cash money. The reward don't always come in cash money. Sometimes it comes by a discount on something. Sometimes it comes by somebody giving you a shirt or pants or something. It sometimes comes in different ways, and we need to start counting these blessings that come to us that are not just not just cash money. Some people, all they look at is the cash money. Man, God gives you, if you stop and think about it, he's giving you all kinds of blessings in different ways. Hello? Come on now. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let's go back and let's sum all this up. All right. Number one, daily meditate on the Word of God. Number two, practice the Word. Number three, give the Word first place. Number four, instantly obey the voice of God when he tells you to do something, but make sure it's the voice of God. Okay? I believe if you'll put into practice what I've been talking about in these five lessons on listen to your heart, that you'll develop your spirit, you'll grow up spiritually, and you will begin to do what it says there in Joshua 1:8. You will begin to prosper and be successful in life. Hallelujah. How many of you got anything out of these five lessons on listen to your heart? And then, like they said, if you want the book, it's back there. The book is back there if you want the book. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your spirit that is speaking to hearts as we have spoken. Father, I thank you that you would continually to lead us and guide us and direct our paths. Help, Father, help each individual in this place to find themselves in a position so that they can listen to your spirit, so that you can guide them from their spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for people to find Jesus or rededicate their life or to have a no-so experience, because I find that there's a lot of people nowadays that go to church, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never accepted him, or you're here and you've accepted him but you know you need to rededicate your life, or you're here and you say, well, I go to church but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand right now. Anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, and you won't leave here like you came. Anybody, anywhere. I think there's a hand being raised back over here. I can't see it. Yes, yes, thank you, thank you. Are the others anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, anywhere else? Are the others that would raise their hand? Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. I'm going to ask if you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to come to the front. I want to shake hands with you. I know that I saw one hand raised, but there's probably others that need to come, so we're going to wait on you just a minute. Come on, right now. If you don't want to walk by yourself, just ask somebody there. They'll walk with you. Come right over here, buddy. Just come on.
Jesus is waiting with open.
God bless you, man. Just stand right here just a minute. Here comes somebody else. Come on. We'll wait just a minute, okay?
Come as you are.
Come right on right here. Hallelujah. God bless you. Anybody else want to come? Come on right now. This is your opportunity to change your life forever. Just join these two. Don't be afraid to walk down here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, guys, I'm going to pray with you here right now. And then I'm going to ask you to go to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have come. I thank you that their life will change today. They'll never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you see Greg right there? Would you just go to that place of prayer with him where you can get some books and talk to, be further talked to? Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. That's what it's about right there.